It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Wall Street Blues, good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Stocks are deep in the red today, a day after the Fed raised interest rates to fight inflation. Correspondent Jolene Kent gets us started.
This is the most aggressive hike since 2000, and it's the most aggressive move that we've seen so far in this inflation situation right now.
The Fed's action comes a week after the Commerce Department announced the economy shrank during the first quarter. If it happens again this quarter, then we are officially in a recession. Defending disinformation, Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas claims ignorance when it comes to the activities of his disinformation czar, who's been tapped by the White House to curtail Russian propaganda heading into the 2022 midterm.
Were you aware of this information when you chose her? Everything I've just shown you?
I was not.
Mayorkas is telling Congress that he had no idea Nina Jankowicz was spreading disinformation herself. Kentucky Congressman James Comer.
This is another example of incompetence, of hypocrisy. We don't need this position. The troubling thing about this position, even if he had picked someone credible, is that this is a law enforcement agency. And the fact that he admitted before Congress under oath that he didn't properly vet this person is another example of Mayorkas' incompetence.
Nina Jankowicz will lead the Biden administration's so-called Ministry of Truth. She's on the record dismissed of the Hunter Biden laptop story and supporting the now debunked Steele dossier, which was paid for by the Hillary Clinton camp to dig up dirt on Donald Trump. President Biden is taking heat for calling the MAGA crowd the most extreme political organization in recent American history. His words. Biden's full-throated attack on Trump Republicans came a day after two dozen Trump-backed candidates won GOP primaries in Indiana and Ohio.
I just was in Omaha, Nebraska with 14,000 MAGA folks laying hands on each other's praying over each other.
Conservative activist Jack Brewer says Biden's biting remarks are not what the country needs right now.
You're going to tell me that folks just like me that have my belief system, that we are the worst political group ever? Let's not forget the Democratic Party created the KKK.
The ramped up rhetoric comes after the infamous Supreme Court leak, on Roe v. Wade. Mr. Biden says as a child of God, he supports abortion rights. Pro-life activist Allie Stuckey.
Well, it just makes me sick. You're talking about the killing of children. We're talking about the killing of babies. And what about their rights?
Stuckey says the president's views on abortion have changed dramatically through the years.
It's insane to see kind of the development that he has had and his views of this. And it makes me sad as someone who claims that he is a person of faith. He certainly has changed his theological views, his views of human life.
Congressional Democrats plan to vote next week on a bill that puts abortion rights into law. The votes are not there for passage, but Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren says that's not the point.
By making people vote on this issue that matters to so many people, we've got a chance now maybe to change the makeup of who's in the United States Senate.
Democrats are banking on the hope that the abortion issue will energize their base, with polls showing a possible red tsunami coming in November. South Carolina's Lindsey Graham.
We're going to win in 2022, and Roe v. Wade is not going to change the outcome.
Meantime, a new 8-foot-high, non-scalable fence was erected overnight outside the Supreme Court in anticipation of more protests should Roe v. Wade be overturned. Deaths from COVID in this country have now topped the 1 million mark.
The number, equivalent to the population of San Jose, California, the 10th largest city in the U.S., was reached at a stunning speed, 27 months after the country confirmed its first case of the virus.
Reporter Mike Bauer, Dr. Umesh Gidawawi, is with the Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City.
When we started off, we
were completely unaware. We were caught unawares, and we were not very clear about where this would go.
The 1 million death milestone comes as some pockets of the country continue to battle yet another COVID subvariant. Russia claims to have control now of the city of Mariupol in Ukraine. It also claims to have killed 600 Ukrainian fighters in fresh fighting overnight. Correspondent Matt Finn.
For months now, hundreds of Ukrainian Marines, along with innocent civilians, have been hiding out in the cold, dark tunnels underneath a massive steel plant there. Ukraine and other reports now say Russia is physically storming that plant after dropping bombs on it from above for weeks. It could mean face-to-face combat.
First Lady Jill Biden leaves for Europe tonight as the war in Ukraine enters its 10th week. She'll arrive in Romania tomorrow, where she'll meet with humanitarian aid workers who are helping displaced children from Ukraine. Today is the 71st annual National Day of Prayer. Each year on the first Thursday in May, America pauses to ponder the power of prayer.
Prayers project our faith on God and God on the world. And so we're not just making a wish upon a star or throwing a penny in a well, that we are actually speaking to the creator of heaven and earth, who can actually do something about all that concerns us.
Day of Prayer Task Force President Kathy Branzell traces the roots of this religious event.
In 1952, the Reverend Billy Graham stood on the steps of the Capitol and he challenged Congress and the President to call for a national day of prayer. Congress took him seriously, and in just a few weeks, they voted unanimously for the resolution, and President Truman signed it into law. And in 1988, that law was amended by Ronald Reagan, and so now by law, on the first Thursday of May, the president must proclaim a day of prayer for our nation.
A recent Marist poll finds 53% of Americans pray every day. 50 to 60,000 prayer gatherings will happen today all over the country. And to find a prayer event near you, all you have to do is check out nationaldayofprayer.org. Still to come on the Noon Report for a Thursday, Trump rally tomorrow night, Hochul in trouble in New York, and drag show for kids in Sayre, PA.
Good afternoon. Certainly much improved weather conditions today compared to yesterday. We'll check forecast details heading into the Mom's Day weekend coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Kevin. Checking the stories making news all across New York and Pennsylvania. Lockport, New York police just outside Buffalo investigating a deadly hit and run early this morning. Cops called to South Transit Street for reports of a man lying in the middle of the road. He'd been hit by two cars and was declared dead at the scene. The driver of one of the vehicles was located a short while later, but police are still looking for the second vehicle. Former President Donald Trump will headline a rally tomorrow night for U.S. Senate candidate Dr. Mehmet Oz in western Pennsylvania. That political pep rally happens at the Westmoreland County Fairgrounds in Greensburg. Most Republicans in Pennsylvania agree that it is wise for the GOP to hitch its wagon to the Trump train.
No one has brought more people to the Republican Party in the last decade or decades than Donald Trump.
That's GOP gubernatorial candidate Jake Corman. Commercials that mention Trump have had more than 16,000 airings in Pennsylvania this primary season. Dennis Owens with ABC 27.
So a Trump endorsement is highly coveted and highly valued in a Republican primary by Republican candidates. What's unclear is whether that's a blessing or a curse come November.
The Trump-backed Dr. Oz is running neck and neck in the polls with former hedge fund manager Dave McCormick. New poll on the New York governor's race. It's just been released. The Emerson College survey shows if Andrew Cuomo were to jump into the race, well, he could play the role of spoiler. Pollster Spencer Kimball.
Cuomo still has a lot of support in New York City, and he maintains a base and hasn't really lost that base. And so even though he wouldn't be able, in my opinion, to win the contest, he would pull a lot of votes away from the Democratic nominee, and that would open up a potential pathway for a Republican to win the governorship.
The survey gives New York Governor Kathy Hochul just a 36% approval rating.
I think she's more concerned about being reelected than what's going on in the state of New York.
Commercial on TV that she's cutting taxes. I don't know what taxes she's cutting.
In the Republican primary, Long Island Congressman Lee Zeldin has a 9-point lead over his nearest rival. Pennsylvania's outgoing governor, Tom Wolf, doubled down on the following theory during an abortion rights rally yesterday in Philadelphia.
Abortion is health care, and it must remain safe and legal.
Republicans looking to replace Wolf say they'll do all they can to make abortion rare.
Every opportunity I have as a governor, I would sign any bill that comes to my desk that would protect the life of the unborn.
I am strongly pro-life.
This is a national catastrophe, and so we're going to move with alacrity, with speed on the heartbeat bill.
I think life is a gift.
Currently, abortions are legal in Pennsylvania up to 24 weeks of pregnancy. A Greece, New York post office manager facing 40 years in prison for allegedly operating a drug ring through the mail. 52-year-old Ralph Minney accused of using his position in the mailroom to send and receive marijuana and cocaine. Federal agents searched his home in Greece and found $75,000 worth of drugs, as well as an arsenal of weapons. Pennsylvania officials are once again sounding the drumbeat for a hike in the minimum wage.
It has to happen. This is ridiculous.
State Labor Secretary Jennifer Barrier.
30 states in the U.S., including our neighbors, have a higher minimum wage than Pennsylvania. What does this say to Pennsylvania workers? That we don't care?
Governor Wolf's proposed a $12 an hour minimum wage with a 50-cent increase every year until the year 2028. The Pennsylvania Chamber of Commerce says mandated pay increases are harmful to small businesses, and tackling inflation should be the focus, not raising the minimum wage. A Long Island, New York school teacher accused of giving a teenager a COVID shot in her home without that teenager's parents' permission. That teacher has cut a plea deal. The teen's mom, Lisa Doyle, thinks that deal, though, is too lenient because it will leave Laura Russo with no criminal record.
If she thinks that this was okay, I'm a teacher, I can do anything, I'm above the law, what else can she do?
Doyle, who is a registered nurse, is angry with the Nassau District Attorney for giving Russo, who is not a medical professional, a slap on the wrist. The teacher was charged with a misdemeanor for giving that COVID shot to that student without parental permission. Christian families are up in arms over a drag show for kids this weekend. It's happening in Sayre, Pennsylvania, sponsored by the group Valley Arts for All. It'll take place Saturday at River Park or Riverfront Park.
I think it's totally inappropriate to take a drag queen show, introducing it to our children, which is entertainment for adults who care for that kind of thing, but they shouldn't be introducing it to our children as well.
Pastor Jeff Bisher is with the Wyndham Center Community Church in Rome, Pennsylvania.
It's, to me, about the same caliber as the drag queen story time that they have at the libraries. And there's quite a disparity between the people who support it and who do not.
Bisher is encouraging people who care about this to contact SARE officials and urge them not to go through with this LGBT-friendly event.
Throughout all of mankind, there's only been two genders, a male and a female. And to try to train up a child that they can be whatever they want to be is scientifically inaccurate and biblically not right.
The pastor says these sorts of gender bender events represent another thread being pulled in the unraveling of America's moral fabric. Big League Baseball can't stop talking about that act of kindness toward a young New York Yankees fan happened during a game back on Tuesday.
Toronto Blue Jays fan Michael Anzalata caught a home run ball in the stands and immediately gave it to 9-year-old Derek Rodriguez, who burst into tears.
Oh my goodness, I almost started crying because of it.
Rodriguez's dad was overjoyed that his fourth grade son got the ball that Aaron Judge, his son's favorite player, hit. Lanzalotta, meantime, has received messages from around the world, with Major League Baseball tweeting, "Enjoy the kindness." Lisa G, New York.
Everybody enjoys that kind of kindness. Thank you, Lisa. You know what else we enjoy? Midday sports. This is the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. I'm Randy Snavely. Home court held its serve in the NBA. The top teams in both conferences are up 2-0 in their respective series. The Heat rolled to a 119-103 win over the 76ers. Ben Adebayo had 23. For the 76ers, Tyrese Maxey led all scorers. He had 34 points. Out west, the Suns used a huge second half, and they pulled away from the Mavs for a 129-109 victory. On the ice, the Hurricanes, the first team to take a 2-0 series lead in these playoffs. Carolina skated past Boston 5-2. Elsewhere, the Lightning stormed back to even their series with Toronto after a 5-3 win. The Wild also tied their respective series with a 6-2 win over the Blues. And the Oilers closed out the action with a dominant 6-0 shutout of the Kings. Well, the Yankees' 11-game winning streak is over as they fell to Toronto 2-1. Joey Gallo went deep for the Yanks' only run of the game. Angels beat Boston in 10-5. Baltimore down the Twins 9-4. Tampa Bay shut out Oakland 3-0. And it was Houston 7, Seattle 2. In the National League, the Braves scored 7 runs in the 6th inning and went on to beat the Mets 9-2. Dodgers over the Giants 9-1. Colorado down Washington 5-2. The Brewers wallop Cincinnati 18-4. And the D-backs edge Miami 8-7. Interleague action, Pirates and Tigers split a pair. Tigers won the first 3-2. Bucks the nightcap 7-2. Pods and Guardians also split a pair. San Diego won 5-4. Cleveland came back to win 6-5. Phillies fell in 10 to Texas 2-1. White Sox edged the Cubs 4-3. And the Cards won easily over Kansas City 10-0. That is a look at sports.
Thank you, Randy. Man, still to come on the Noon Report. COVID milestone in America. The decline of the biblical worldview and seeing double in Mansfield.
Kids deserve better books. Unfortunately, they're not getting them. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. A few years ago, a kid's book was published titled A is for Activist. On the jacket of the book is a tiny fist raised apparently in solidarity. A quick stroll through any Metropolitan Library children's section will find even more books like this one. There's Anti-Racist Baby by Ibram X. Kendi. The hips on the drag queen go swish, swish, swish. And of course, Heather Has Two Mommies. Now, anyone with actual children or who has been around actual children or who was once an actual child should know that baby activism is a misnomer. Little fists are used for temper tantrums and for fighting with dad, not for solidarity. Chuck Colson advocated for classical education, and so do I, precisely because of its understanding of and respect for the natural development of kids. Postmodern thinking and education was disrupting what he called the order of learning. Instead of recognizing that the right foundations, known as grammar and rhetoric in a classical vision, must first be established before children can move on to, for example, making coherent political arguments. Well, today, however, we've got all that exactly backwards. Instead of teaching third graders their multiplication tables, we're teaching them to express themselves. Instead of teaching high schoolers logic, we encourage them to share their opinion on every subject, informed or not, as long as it aligns, of course, with our opinion and that anyone who challenges them is a threat. This approach is in part a downstream effect of postmodernism. It's also a downstream effect of the sexual revolution, which prioritizes the needs and desires of adults over the needs, desires, and even the design of kids. A is for Activist isn't written for children. It's written for the adults that will buy it. And adults that buy it aren't buying it for their children. They're buying it in order to be the kind of person who buys a book titled A is for Activist. Now, all this is an amazing opportunity for Christian creatives. C.S. Lewis, himself a master of children's literature, wrote that the world does not need more Christian literature. What it needs is more Christians writing good literature. Elsewhere, in God in the Dock, he implored Christians to write books on everything. Quote, what we want is not more little books about Christianity, but more little books by Christians on other subjects with their Christianity latent. You can see this most easily if you look at it the other way around. It is not books written in direct defense of materialism that makes modern man a materialist. It is the materialistic assumptions in all the other books. In the same way, it's not books on Christianity that would really trouble the materialist. But he would be troubled if, whenever he wanted a cheap, popular introduction to some science, the best work on the market was always by a Christian. Or to paraphrase, whenever a parent needed a great children's book, the best work on the market
was always by a Christian. Good art paraphrases reality, describing the world as it truly is. Good art also respects the audience. Good literature for children will respect children. Jesus explicitly respected children as full human beings with their own dignity, their own value. Kids should not be used as political pawns. They ought not be asked to shoulder the burden of advocating for our modern innovations, like proclaiming that Heather's two mommies can somehow replace a mom and a dad, or that their bodies might be wrong, or that they might be racist simply because of the color of the skin they were born with. Well, thankfully, there's a growing number of good books for kids on offer. Michael Dowling has written a fun book of children's stories teaching Christian worldview and values called Frog's Rainy Day Story and Other Fables. The Good Book Company produces a series of incredibly well-made picture books called Tales That Tell the Truth. NAF Press publishes a series called God's Design for Sex with a different book for each age that carefully and slowly teaches kids about their bodies. And there are fantastic children's authors whose books are not explicitly Christian, but who do tell good, true, and beautiful stories for kids in their own language. After all, kids are really full members of God's kingdom. They deserve good books. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
20 past the hour, Kevin Williams weather next.
Here is your Family Life weather forecast for this afternoon. A good deal of sunshine, high temperatures ranging mainly in the 60s, a little cooler near the shores of Lake Erie in Ontario. Clouds will return tonight, low temps in the 40s tomorrow. Looks cloudy and damp into Saturday across much of Pennsylvania with occasional rain. Farther north, there'll be some rain skirting the southern tier and southern Finger Lakes. It'll be mainly dry during that time frame closer to Lake Ontario. High temperatures generally in the cool 50s and low 60s. Brighter, drier conditions and milder conditions are ahead for Sunday, Mother's Day.
All right, thank you, Kevin. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Lots going on this Thursday, the 5th of May, Cinco de Mayo. Stocks deep in the red today, a day after the Fed hiked interest rates by 50 basis points. That's the highest rate hike in more than 20 years. It was to stave off record inflation. Worker productivity, meantime, at its lowest level since World War II. Former President Trump wading into the culture wars, speaking to CBN News today. The 45th president says the current administration is anti-anything having to do with Christianity.
I said these people are against evangelicals. I said they're against Israel. I said they're against organized religion, frankly. When I said that during debates and elsewhere, people sort of weren't sure. Everything I said was right, by the way. And I'm not just talking about energy and the border, and I'm talking about religion.
From transgenderism to free speech, abortion to crime, Trump says he thinks the American people will ultimately reject this new world view.
This is a different world. It's a new world. And I think it's actually going to be shut out. You know how it's going to get shut out? Common sense. It's common sense.
The former president thinks this year's midterms will pump the proverbial brakes on the moral slide. That explosive leak at the U.S. Supreme Court has reignited the abortion debate.
My body, my choice!
Days of protests have led police to fortify the perimeter outside the Supreme Court. A new 8-foot non-scalable fence surrounds the building. President Biden yesterday slammed the notion that the court may be ready to reverse Roe.
This is about a lot more than abortion.
He also took heat for suggesting that Donald Trump supporters are dangerous.
This MAGA crowd is really the most extreme political organization that's existed in American history.
He later clarified those comments and said recent American history. But the damage was done, GOP strategist Karl Rove.
This is over the top. To take a broad brush like this and paint the MAGA movement, it's just a reach, and it's not going to work well. Sign of desperation on the part of the administration.
Conservatives were quick to pounce on the Biden blip, comparing the remark to Hillary Clinton's basket of deplorables comment from 2016. The U.S. has officially topped the 1 million mark in terms of people killed by COVID. The CDC says there's a new COVID subvariant making the rounds. And there's a study out today that shows COVID can actually cause severe cognitive impairment. The virus has the ability to age the mind by almost 20 years. Well, 10 weeks into the war, 4,000 Americans have joined the fight in Ukraine against Russia. That's according to the Washington Post. Correspondent Deborah Pata has the latest from the front lines.
The harder Russia flexes its military muscle, the harder Ukrainians fight back. And they've been joined by American fighters like Manas, blinded by shrapnel.
I can take it. I'm young. I'm a man. I'm strong. It's the kids and the old people who I really worry about.
But they're not just battlefield casualties. They are war heroes.
I was knocked out totally.
Vitaly Stanislavovich owes his life to three American volunteer fighters after their vehicle was blown up by a landmine.
Russia claims to have killed 600 Ukrainian fighters in rocket attacks overnight. A tornado wreaked havoc in downtown Oklahoma City last night. KOTV reporter J.D. McManus standing by in hard-hit Seminole, about 50 miles from the state capital.
There's an older downtown building that the roof is completely gone. Lots of damage, a lot of sheet metal wrapped around things. Power's out, power poles down, trees down.
A school took a direct hit. No injuries reported. It's 25 past the hour. This is the Noon Report, and next at noon, a conversation with Christian pollster George Barna. He's talking to Family Life's Brandon Dixon about the decline in the biblical worldview.
Boy, what an interesting report this is, taking a look at behaviors, beliefs, and where born again Christian parents sit within the worldview. What are some of the latest findings that you're seeing in this?
As we look at the parents of children under the age of 13 across the country, what we find is that only 2% of all of them have a biblical worldview. And that's significant because, of course, a person's worldview begins developing at 15 to 18 months of age and is almost completely formed by the age of 13. So it's those first 13 years of a person's life that are so critical toward identifying who they're going to become and how they're going to live, what they're going to believe, what impact in the world they're going to have. So parents who are among the people that children trust the most and whom they would look to guide them in the development of their worldview, even though they're not thinking of it that way, that's essentially the transaction that's happening. Unfortunately, as they look to their parents, they're not going to be given the basics or the foundations of a biblical worldview because parents themselves don't have it, and you can't give what you don't have.
When you talk about just 2%, I mean, that is absolutely staggering to think. You touched on it a little bit there, but I want to unpack it just a bit more. What is the impact of not having a biblical worldview, not only from the parents' perspective, but as you mentioned, raise this next generation of people up?
Well, a worldview is something that everybody has. You have to have one to get through the day because it's essentially your decision-making filter. Every choice that you make is run through your worldview filter because it's your worldview that tells you what you believe to be right or wrong, good or bad, appropriate, inappropriate, and so forth. So our worldview is absolutely central to how we choose to live. We have an expression here at the Cultural Research Center where we talk about you do what you believe. So your beliefs matter because they determine your behavior, and your worldview is the repository of all those critical beliefs that then determine how you're going to live.
What about the church as a role, be it the actual church and the programs they have, but then also in more of the broader sense?
So as we looked at that particular dynamic and looked at the role of the church in this process, one of the things that we discovered is that churches are having very, very little impact on children. Now, part of that is because most children don't attend any kind of church activities. But the other part of it is when they do, they're basically there to have fun, to feel good. They're there really to make their parents feel comfortable that their children are well taken care of and that they're being exposed to good information and good experiences. That's not really the goal here. The goal here should be to recognize that the primary function of the local church is to build disciples. And whether or not a person truly becomes a disciple is largely determined before a person reaches the age of 13. And so their job is to, number one, equip parents to fulfill that primary responsibility of raising children to be disciples of Jesus. But secondly, when those children are at a church, we need to be heavily investing in them, not treating them as people that need to be entertained, but as people with minds, with hearts, with souls that are going to be shaped by someone or something. And if it's not the church, then it's going to be the world. And so we have to take seriously the opportunity to teach them about God, to teach them about Jesus, to teach them about the Bible, to teach them basic principles such as what is success, what is our purpose in life, those types of things. So churches may want to rethink their entire approach to ministry. One of the things that I tell them is, as I look at how human beings develop and all the insights that I've gleaned over the last 40-plus years from the research that we've been doing, what we discovered is that really the single most important group for us to minister to is children, not adults. And yet churches put more than 75% of their ministry resources into ministering to adults. We probably need to turn that around and put a much, much greater percentage, most of our resources, into ministering effectively to children, realizing they can learn, they will learn, they are learning. And so it's kind of a competition for their mind and their heart and their soul. We're in competition with the world and these other worldly philosophies. We have the goods. We have the best stuff. But we've got to believe in it so much that we say the moment that we have somebody who's willing to pay attention to us, we're going to do everything we can to help develop their worldview.
Pretty heady stuff there from Christian pollster George Barna at the Culture Research Center in Arizona. You're listening to the Noon Report on Family Life.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. It's a much drier weather pattern across the area today as compared to yesterday, but another rainmaker is on the way. A pretty decent dose of dampness ahead later tomorrow night into Saturday across Pennsylvania, the southern tier of New York. Areas farther north toward Buffalo, Syracuse, Rochester will escape most, if not all, the rain. Here's our call for this afternoon. A good deal of sunshine, high temperatures ranging mainly in the 60s, a little cooler near the shores of Lake Erie in Ontario. Clouds will return tonight, low temps in the 40s tomorrow. Looks cloudy and damp into Saturday across much of Pennsylvania with occasional rain. Farther north, there'll be some rain skirting the southern tier and southern Finger Lakes. It'll be mainly dry during that time frame closer to Lake Ontario. High temperatures generally in the cool 50s and low 60s. Brighter, drier conditions and milder conditions are ahead for Sunday, Mother's Day.
All right, thank you, Kevin. Finally, noon, graduation season right around the corner, and graduates in one Texas town going to be seeing double later this month.
Mansfield Independent School District's upcoming graduation ceremony will hold an unusual distinction when 35 pairs of twins and one set of triplets cross the stage to receive their diplomas. Officials said the graduating class represents the most multiples ever seen at one time in the district. Surprisingly, though, this isn't the most set of multiples to be in the same grade at a school at one time, as one Illinois high school earned two Guinness World Records in 2017, when they had 45 sets of twins and one set of triplets in one grade. But for now, Mansfield students are excited for graduation at the end of May, hoping this event will be one of a kind. Brian Querrey, Family Life News.
I guess so. Something in the water there in Mansfield, Texas. Thank you, Brian. That's our world for Thursday, the 5th day of May. Happy Cinco de Mayo. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.